Employers are laying off fewer workers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Labor Department says first-time jobless claims fell more than expected last week, and the number of people continuing to claim benefits dropped as well. And another report says wholesale prices rose more than expected last month. Food costs, a big part of that. President Obama takes to the bully pulpit today to talk about financial reform. He's going to be speaking to a New York City crowd that knows all too well about how fortunes are made and lost. Financial industry leaders specifically who have direct contact with lobbyists. The White House says it wants Congress to pass a reform bill, and today's remarks will underscore the president's interest in that cause. Matthew Bishop is the U.S. business editor of The Economist magazine. He is with us live this morning from London. Welcome, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. All right. What does today's speech for President Obama mean? Is this a defining moment for financial reform?
Well, I think it is a defining moment for financial reform. I've just got a new book out called The Road from Ruin, which explains that we really do have to change the capitalist system. And I think Obama has been slow to do what he had to do, but now he is absolutely right to go to Wall Street and confront the bankers, who I think are the biggest opponents to the kind of reforms that need to be done.
Who's going to be crafting this financial reform legislation, lawmakers or lobbyists?
Well, unfortunately, whoever crafts it is deeply compromised. Again, one of the things we write about in the book is just how much everyone, both in Congress and in Wall Street, was at fault and was actually benefiting from the good times before the financial crash. And so, you know, even someone like Senator Dodd, who is supposedly leading the reform initiative, you know, he received a lot of money from lobbyists before the financial crash. And so he's not the ideal person you would choose to sort the mess out. But the hope is that now President Obama is focused, that he will actually get some of the good things that he's proposing through, like the Consumer Protection Agency, and like some of the greater transparency around derivatives and so forth that he's talking about. My worry, though, is that the power of Wall Street is still too strong and the politicians are still too compromised to really do the right thing.
Matthew Bishop, the U.S. business editor of The Economist. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's check the numbers. European shares are off by an average of, about 1% right now. More worries about Greece's debt crisis. Asian shares mostly fell today, too. Wall Street yesterday, not much change. The Dow added about 7 points to close at 11,124.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. By MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store. And by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, allowing users to work from anywhere via the web. More at gotomypc.com/market.
Flight schedules in much of Europe are returning to normal today after being closed for almost a week because of Iceland's volcano. Now, airlines may have to pay, and that's left some budget carriers a little worried. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Under EU law, all carriers have to pay the full cost of accommodation and food for their stranded passengers. That will hit the low-budget airlines hardest. They'll be picking up a tab that dwarfs the ticket price. Michael O'Leary, the combative boss of low-cost Ryanair, at first refused to pay up. He's now backed down and agreed to comply with the law, but he's complaining bitterly about it.
We're definitely calling for the suspension of these ludicrous passenger compensation rules, which entitle passengers, even those paying 20 and 30 euro airfares, to seek reimbursement of their hotel expenses from airlines, which could run to many hundreds of euros. It's just not fair.
Especially, he says, since the long delays were beyond the airline's control. European carriers say the compensation rules represent a massive competitive disadvantage. US airlines only have to pay similar costs when they're at fault. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Tonight, it's round one of the NFL draft. The St. Louis Rams will make the first pick, but the player they choose may not be the superstar they think he is. And that's something the sports and business worlds have in common. Cade Massey is a professor at the Yale School of Management. He co-authored a paper talking about why the first pick isn't always what it's cracked up to be. Professor, welcome to Marketplace.
Thanks, Steve.
I love the title of your piece, The Loser's Curse of Overconfidence versus Market Efficiency in the NFL Draft. Why'd you go there in the first place?
Well, we thought it would be a good place to test some ideas from psychology, mostly this idea of overconfidence. And in listening to teams talk about their draft picks, we thought they were wildly overconfident in being able to identify which player would be best. That's one of the troubles with the top picks is that they pay them so much that you pretty much have to hit best case for it to work out. You know, just a couple of years ago, number one pick in the draft, Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, from LSU.
LSU quarterback. Oakland took him, number one pick, you know, guaranteed him something like $30 million. And he hasn't worked out well at all.
So where should teams want to draft to get the most bang for their buck?
Well, we find that it's best very late in the first round or even early in the second round. You're still getting very good players, but you're paying them a lot less.
So why are there so many draft day deals for teams to trade up?
I think it's in our nature to be overconfident about our ability to forecast these things. You know, it's not just about football. It's about your investments. It's about your relationships. It's about hiring people into work for your company, hiring lawyers that come out of law school.
Or in the conference room, right? I mean, this could be a CEO of a major company.
Absolutely, absolutely. The virtue of football and other sports is that you can actually observe performance, you can quantify these things, and you know how things play out down the road. Not only can we do this as researchers, but the teams themselves can do this. They can do this in a way that most organizations can't. So if the teams are not getting it right, in the kind of the best possible situation, teams aren't getting this right, what chance do organizations have? You've got to do the analysis or else you're going to fall prey to these same mistakes.
Professor Cade Massey over at Yale School of Management, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Steve.
And finally, today's the 40th Earth Day, and the New York Times says big companies are using the day to sell. Bahama Umbrellas is marketing an umbrella that collects rainwater. And New York's Gray Line is promoting Earth Week packages. Sightseers can ride to earth-friendly places, a flower market or the botanical gardens. Take a breath of fresh air in honor of Earth Day. Just don't stand behind one of those gas-guzzling buses. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.